It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
Echoing in the cavernous Pike Nursery here in Peachtree City this morning. We're broadcasting live the Lawn and Garden Show in Peachtree City. We'll be here until 9 a.m. this morning. I have some well-fed, very happy audience members here. The Pike Nursery folks have contracted with the Kedron Village Chick-fil-A, and we have chicken biscuits this morning. Come by and have a cup of coffee and a chicken biscuit on us, a little breakfast for you, and ask questions. Mickey Gazaway from Pike Nursery is here by my side. We are answering questions on the air and in person here at the Pike Nursery. 404-872-0750 is a number on Lawn and Garden. First in line goes to Moggy in Cleveland, Georgia. Moggy, good morning.
Good morning. How are you?
How are you? Doing fine. Well, what's going on?
I have two questions about crepe myrtle. One is it? Can I trim it now? Is it the timing wrong?
No, I don't think there's a day of the year you cannot trim a crepe myrtle. I'd rather you not do severe pruning on it right now, but if you need to trim and cut this and that and the other just to make it look better, I don't see any reason why you couldn't do that. Sure.
Okay, the other question is it the wrong time to transplant it?
How big is it?
It's maybe 8 foot.
I'm not going to.
I'd wait.
Mickey's not going to. All right, two of us here would not transplant an 8 foot high crepe myrtle. Little one's okay. 2-3 feet tall, sure, no problem. But when you get to 8 feet, Moggy, you just have so many leaves on it, and they're coming out right now. You'll lose half the roots on the plant anyway as you move it around. Those leaves are going to be stressed. That's not going to be a happy crepe myrtle in summer.
Well, the problem is it's in the shade. It doesn't have any leaves.
Oh. It's not going to get any better in the shade, will it now? You didn't tell me that. If you got to, I mean, it's a gamble. I mean, it's still a gamble, Moggy, but if it doesn't have any leaves, there's not much leaf and water stress on it now. So if you got help to do, go ahead and try it and see what happens.
Oh, because it has a big root ball?
Well, it has a reasonably good-sized root ball. It'll be wide, not deep, but wide. So try to get out wide, maybe 3 feet, maybe just as wide as you can get and get all the roots out of the ground. Yeah.
Okay. All right, great. I have to tell you, I don't normally get up early in the morning, but on Saturday morning I do, just to listen to y'all.
My goodness. I have several audience members here this morning who said the same, Moggy, and I appreciate their comments, and I appreciate you getting up that early and listening to whatever happens on this Lawn and Garden Show. Thanks for calling, Moggy. I do appreciate it.
Thank you.
You bet. Thanks so much. 404-872-0750 gets you in to take Moggy's place. David's in Milton, Georgia. Hey, David. Good morning.
Good morning, Walter.
What can we do for you, David?
I've got a rodent north side of our house. Good shady spot. But the leaves are curled. This is a Nova Zembla variety.
Right.
And it's got good color and everything. Otherwise looks healthy, but the leaves are curled like a cigar, maybe. They're turned down on the edges. It doesn't look happy.
Have you used any kind of herbicide in there at all? Have you used anything on the grass or anything?
Not a thing.
All right. That was a real good first question, David, because one of the characteristics of a lot of broadleaf weed killers is they make leaves curl, just like you said, like a cigar. And Mickey was going down one road to say, well, maybe he sprayed a weed killer nearby and it curled the leaves up for that reason.
Or weed and feed on your grass.
Yeah, weed and feed even, David. Is that a possibility?
No. A little bit more to the story, there's another rhododendron right next to it that's been there longer, happy as a clam.
Wow.
Nice flat leaves.
The other thing now that I'm thinking about what a rhododendron looks like when they're stressed is sometimes they get wilty when they get Phytophthora or some of the root rots, Mickey. That sometimes will cause leaves to curl up.
Yeah.
So, all right, here's what I think you need to do, David. Is this a real, I'm thinking about how low you're going to have to go, but is this a great big rhododendron or one you can get underneath and dig pretty easily?
It's a pretty good size one. It's been in the ground about 6 months, and I think it's like a 7 gallon size, something like that.
Oh, well, it's not huge. It's not like 6 feet wide, 6 feet high or anything.
No.
Okay, all right. So it's relatively young then. So how old did you say it was? 6 months then, David?
6 months. Bought it at a local nursery here in
Louisville.
Could it be planted too deeply?
It could possibly be planted too deeply, and now I think we can get a little more clarity here. Here's what I would do. It's small enough that you can dig it up and look at the roots. See how the roots look, smell, see if they've started dividing and going into the soil around the hole where you planted it. Just look at the root system, because that's where the problem is located, somewhere on the root system of this plant. And if you see roots that smell bad, turn brown, and just don't look healthy or something, then that is either because it's planted too deeply, planted in a wet spot, that the root stays soggy for a long time, but something's going on with the roots. That's what the problem is.
Okay.
And then, you know, quite honestly, good local nurseries usually offer a guarantee. Pike certainly does. They offer a guarantee for life for any plant you buy, perennial and woody, for that matter, from Pike Nursery. So go back to the nursery where you bought it, see if they have a guarantee there. Without naming any names, that's usually the way to go, is ask them for their guarantee.
Okay. That's
all right.
Great.
All right, check it out, David. Let us know if you see something real distinctive. Call me back next Saturday and let me know about it, David.
I will.
I'd love to hear about it. Thanks for calling. 404-872-0750. Get you in. We got 7:14 on a Saturday morning, which means Keith has his turn. Keith, good morning. Welcome to Lawn and Garden.
Hey, good morning, Walter.
Hey, Keith, what's up?
Oh, not much. I've got a what Google Lens tells me is a Confederate rose.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's about 10 feet tall. And it's sitting right in front of my porch. I want to move it.
Is it got leaves on it now? Because usually Confederate rose is a hibiscus and it dies down to the ground in the wintertime.
This thing actually blooms.
Yeah, but
in the winter.
Is it?
No, wait a second.
Well,
it's not a Confederate rose.
It's a late fall.
Okay,
yeah,
late
yeah,
fall,
that's when they did.
Rose. Yeah,
but usually they die to the ground, and I just cut mine off in the winter time.
Yeah, that's I agree. That usually the stems are dead at this time. They just make new growth from the bottom of the plant. So, is yours alive still, Keith?
Yes, sir. I know. Last year, I remember whatever you want to say. The branches browned. I mean, just broke.
Yeah.
And now I've got green leaves on it.
Are the green leaves coming up from the bottom, or are they coming up from out of the
trunk?
The trunk.
From the top.
It's
I'll
not
be
a darned. Confederate.
You know, in Locust Grove, Mickey, it may not have gotten cold enough this winter to freeze it back.
Maybe not.
Okay,
maybe
so
not.
Really and truly, let's assume that Keith is correct. His Confederate rose is still alive. What's the question, Keith? What do you
I
need to know?
I want to know if I can move it and when I can move it and how big of a root ball I'm looking at.
I would say, yeah. I mean, because generally speaking, they're dead right now. I have moved nine. I know in the spring.
You know what I usually do with mine is that in the fall, I'll make cuttings of it about 2 feet long all the way down. I put them in water and a milk jug and put them in the utility room, and that's where they sit most of the winter, and every one of them will make roots on it.
Yeah.
And
really?
It's a hibiscus. I mean, it's a hibiscus. It's hibiscus mutabilis, which is a that means it. Does yours change colors? Does it? Is it always the same?
Morning it's white, and by afternoon it's
green. Yeah,
that's
exactly
what it is.
Right. Yeah, that's what you have.
Yeah, that's what you got.
So to briefly get to the answer question, yes, I think you can transplant it now. No, it does not have a huge root ball. Mm-hmm. It's not going to be 3 feet wide and 4 feet deep or anything like that. But big enough, go ahead and try to dig as many roots as you can, but I don't think you'll have any problem moving it. Honestly, I'd probably trim it back to about 4 or 5 feet high, not try to transplant all 10 feet of it there.
And you could make some cuttings if you wanted some more. You could take those and you could root some. I've never tried to do it this time of year, but I bet you could.
Sure, take 2 foot cuttings.
I'm going to try it because it's beautiful when it blooms. It's just right up against the porch.
Yeah, and you can give the cuttings once they root. You can give them away to your friends and neighbors, and they'll all be proud to have one of Keith's favorite Confederate roses. Thanks for calling, Keith. We'll see you soon, man. It's 7:18 at News Talk WSB. We'll be back right after this.
This is Scott Slade from Atlanta's Morning News on WSB. Our 24-hour news center delivers updates all weekend. Depend on it. We'll be here Monday morning, 4:30 till 9, for breaking news and traffic and weather every 6 minutes. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves.
"'Twas just a garden in the rain." "Close to a little leafy lane."
Always a surprise when Jason brings the gardening song on a Saturday morning.
"Of color neath skies of gray."
We're broadcasting, of course, from Pike Nursery in Peachtree City, and it's covered in color. It's a little garden lane right here on Highway 74, Joel Cowan Parkway. Quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Dry most of today, high of 82 degrees. Low of 67 tonight. Sunday, scattered showers, maybe a thunderstorm or two here and there. High of 75, low of 46. Your full weekend forecast comes up in 10 minutes on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. And be sure to stay tuned. If thunderstorms threaten, we will break into the news and make sure that you know what the weather is happening right immediately in the storm center right where you live. 404-872-0750 is the number on Lawn and Garden. We've got Donna incoming who joins us. Hey, Donna, good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I have a dogwood that doesn't have any leaves on it. And I'm wondering whether it has... It was given to me last year, and it was doing seemed to be doing pretty good. In January, I noticed that maybe a deer or something had been nibbling on the bark, and I put a little fence around it so prevent that. And then maybe around February, it had a few buds, and the leaves weren't there, but they were looking like they were forming. And then we had that cold snap, and that was the end of the buds. And it hasn't got any leaves. Where the other tree I was given at about the same time, it has leaves, and it has six flowers on it, and it seems to be doing good. So I'm trying to figure out if I can do anything for this other tree, or is it gone?
Mickey, in my mind's eye, Mickey, I'm seeing a dogwood with no leaves on it, bare right now, mid-April.
I'd scratch the bark just in case
just to
see if it's anything green under there, but it doesn't sound good.
It seems to be flexible.
Yeah, well, flexible is one thing, but does it have green tissue under the bark? That's really where the life of the tree is in the cambium layer.
Where should I be scraping? Down by the
one
base?
I start at the end
of the branch, and then I go in.
Get a little dull knife and just scratch at the end of a branch, move in 12 inches, scratch again, move in 12 inches, scratch again. And scratch the bark off real gently. And if it's green underneath, there's still a possibility of buds sprouting out. It doesn't sound like it's going to, Donna, but maybe. If it's all brown underneath your scratch, then that's all she wrote. You need another dogwood.
Okay. Guess I go scratching.
go scratching. You know, they pay me the big bucks to tell the truth, and the truth is I don't hold out a lot of hope for that dogwood, Donna. But hope springs eternal.
Let's go see if it
has any green underneath.
All right. Well, thank you.
If that was good news or bad news, she thanked me anyway because she was well-bred. Her mama taught her well. Thank you, even though I delivered something she did not want to hear. Alfonso is in Jackson, Georgia, and joins us. Alfonso, hi, good morning.
Hey, good morning. Thanks for taking my call.
You bet. How can we help?
Okay, so quick question. I got this hillside. It's pretty big, and I always cover it with pine straw every year after, like, cleaning all the leaves up and getting all the weeds. But what I want to know is what's the best way to keep all the weeds and grass from growing through? Because I lay it down pretty thick, and but in just, like, a couple months from now, it seems like every year the weeds grow up, and then I'm having to, like, weed eat it, and then by the end of the year, I just can't control it, and, I just want to know what's the best way to keep the weeds down, the grass from growing.
Alfonso, let me stop you right here. Let me put you on hold for a second because I know we got the news break coming up. Let me put you on hold. Mickey and I will think about your problem and we'll have an answer for you after news. How about that? We'll talk to you right after news, Alfonso. 404-872-0750 is the number. We'll be back right after news.
It's the Lawn and Garden Show with Walter Reeves on News 95.5 and AM 750 WSB. It's brought to you by Pike Nurseries, your neighborhood garden center, playing in the dirt for more than 50 years. Call now with your lawn and garden questions at 404-872-0750 or 1-800-WSB-TALK. And now, here's Walter.
Perfect. I have them so well trained. I won't give them any food unless they clap at the right time. It is a wonderful thing. We're broadcasting live this morning, a live audience, an applauding audience here at the Pike Nursery in Peachtree City on Joel Cowan Parkway, Highway 74, Fayette County, my home county. Mickey Gasway, my friend, is with me this morning as well, and we'll be here until 9 o'clock feeding. As long as you clap, we'll be feeding you and giving you a cup of coffee if you come by the Pike Nursery in Peachtree City. Lots and lots of plants on sale today. Of course, tomatoes. This is Tomato Day, a tomato class at every Pike Nursery at 9 o'clock this morning. And tomatoes on sale for $2.99 for a one-gallon plant. I bought three yesterday.
Good.
Yeah.
Good for you.
And I am going to go with the bush plants this year, Mickey, because I am a little tired of having to climb ladders to harvest my tomatoes. So bush tomatoes for me this year.
I'm going to do celebrities this year.
Celebrities are
actually a semi-determinant.
In between, yeah.
Yeah, and so if you've got a big pot, they'll work in that, and the tomatoes are delicious.
You read the label on tomato plant. If it says determinant, that means it's a bush type.
Determined size.
It's determined when it's going to flower, and then it'll stop. It'll be a bushy kind of plant. If it says indeterminate, that means it's going to be long. This will be 8 or 9 feet high.
Right.
If you have a cage or a ladder to put them on, that's fine. But
A tall husband helps
a lot, too.
Yeah.
They reach up to the top of the plant. Alfonso, let's go back to Alfonso, who we've been holding online here for so long. Hey, Alfonso, good morning.
Morning.
All right, so here for our listeners who are just catching up with us, Alfonso has a big hillside, has a lot of pine straw that he usually puts on it, but weeds come through it every year. And Alfonso, if I'm correct, you wanted to figure out what to do with those weeds, right?
Yeah, sir.
So here's what we think. You'll do this from two different directions. One direction is to put a pre-emergent out, and pre-emergents are the ones you put on a lawn usually to prevent lawn weeds, but they work fine on a hillside too. And if you have weed seeds that are germinating in the pine straw on the hillside, then the pre-emergent in the fall, sometime in September, and maybe another time in the spring in March, or maybe right now, Alfonso, would be fine to keep the seeds from sprouting. Now, there are a lot of plants in there that are not coming from seeds, like blackberries and smilax and some of the perennial weeds and things like that. And for those, Alfonso, you just have to go in and spray them. With Bonide Cleanup is a good non-selective herbicide. So Bonide Cleanup works fine, just like Roundup is. And spray the perennial weeds with that. So two directions, pre-emergent twice a year, and then the post-emergent broadleaf weed killer whenever you see the weeds present.
Okay, that sounds perfect, man. That's exactly what I wanted to know. So pre-emergent and Bonide Cleanup.
You got it. Exactly, Alfonso.
Yep. All right. I really appreciate it. Thank you.
Nothing to it. Thanks for calling and being so patient with us, Alfonso. We do appreciate it. Speaking of patience, Regina has been waiting for 22 minutes, but now she's on the air. Hey, Regina.
Hey.
Good morning. Hi.
Yes, I have a massive carpenter ant problem.
Yeah.
And it's been there for a few years, I think, and I just didn't realize that it was the extent that it is. And so I didn't know what to do, what was the best treatment for that. I've read a couple of things, but I wanted to get your take on that.
Yeah.
Where are they?
Where do you see them?
They're all out in the trees. I mean, they're at the base of basically every tree in my front yard.
So there's a part of me, Mickey, that says big deal.
If they're there.
Go ahead.
Yeah, I think if they're not hurting anything.
I have seen them at the house.
Well, carpenter ants, it's important to remember that carpenter ants don't eat live wood or solid wood. They eat rotten wood, they'll hollow it out. If you have a rotten place in a tree or a little knot hole, you know, it's got rotten wood behind it. Yeah, they'll make a little nest back there. In a house, if you have rotten wood on the roof deck or above a door or window or something, sure, they'll hollow it out there. But they don't actually come in and eat the wood like a termite would. So they're not that big of a problem structurally, but I know it's sort of a drag when you go around the woods with the, you know, the trees behind your house and they fall on your shoulders. It's sort of icky to have a carpenter ant fall onto your head, your hair, your shoulders, and try to brush them off. They're great big things, so they're sort of scary looking too. So if you want to kill them, Regina, frankly, you just use any garden insecticide.
Yeah, contact
garden insecticide would be fine. Seven would do fine, yeah.
Don't use powdered seven. Liquid
things would do fine.
Okay, because they're all over the yard, and they have trails going, you know, in the yard. So
still, Regina, just find the place where they're coming from. Again, it's going to be a rotten hole in a tree or a log or something like that. It's where the carpenter ants are coming from. Try to find that. If you put a contact insecticide in there, then you'll kill the ones that are living in that particular place.
Okay, so I'll get me some Liquid 7. I appreciate that.
You bet, Regina. Thanks for calling.
All right. Thank you. Bye-bye.
We've got Adam up in Gainesville who has a question about his pets. Adam, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
How can we help Adam?
Hold on. Let me take my phone off. I just realized it's got a feedback there.
Okay.
Yes, sir. I have a cat with a bunch of kittens, and I usually use Roundup around the yard. I don't want to use Roundup this year because of the fact that the cat might walk through it and lick it off its fur and it get into the milk and kill the babies. So what can I use that's non-toxic to kill weeds?
Let me say, Adam, there is not any science that supports Roundup being toxic to cats, but I know you want to do something that you're absolutely positively sure. And so I can give you alternatives to Roundup. Sure, there's plenty of alternatives. And
that sounds great. Cells.
I've got one here right here beside me. As a matter of fact, there's Bonide, the brand name that Pike carries of insecticide and herbicide. Bonide Burnout is one product that Bonide has. And Burnout is citric acid and what else?
Clove oil.
And so Bonide Burnout will, it burns the leaves off of a plant. It does not go into the roots. It's not translocated. But it smells real good too, Mickey says. It smells real good. So it just burns the leaves off of things. That seems to me reasonably safe for your cat. The other stuff that if you have broadleaf weeds in your lawn, Bonide has another product. And I've forgotten the name for it, Mickey. It's back on the back shelf there.
It's Weed Beater something.
Weed Beater 2, something like that.
Bet. It's not the regular Weed Beater.
The active ingredient, Adam, is actually iron or FEDTA. Yeah. But iron, oddly enough, when a broadleaf plant, a weed in this case, if a weed absorbs a lot of iron, they'll die. The leaves turn black and they'll die. Grass, on the other hand, doesn't mind having iron in the environment around it or on the leaves at all, so the grass is just as happy as it can be. So if you spray this iron herbicide on your lawn, if you have a cat that goes out on the lawn, the broadleaf weeds in the lawn will absorb the iron, they'll die, and the grass will be just happy and green and healthy.
Okay, cool. Now, I did hear one other thing, vegetable oil. Have you ever heard of that?
For doing what?
Vegetable oil, spray it on the weeds and it'll kill them.
No.
Okay.
They're herbicidal soaps.
I thought it sounded too good.
No, yeah. I don't think putting canola oil is going to do anything for the weeds that make them slick.
Slippy.
Yeah, they'll fall down. The poor little cat will go around. No, I don't think so. There are alternatives to Roundup. I know people don't want to use Roundup. I have scientific research that I rely on that says Roundup does not cause cancer, does not cause any measurable harm to the environment. But if people would like to use other alternatives, there's no problem in using them. And I have a list of them, by the way, Adam, if you want some other products that have other ingredients in them to use other than Roundup, I have that on my website. First page, I believe, on the website, Organic Weed Killers, right there. You can look at that if you want to get some other alternatives to Roundup.
Thank you.
All right, Adam. Thanks for calling. 404-872-0750 gets you in to take Adam's place. Who's next here? We got Deborah in Monticello calls in this morning. Hey, Deborah, good morning.
Hey there, how are you doing?
Hi. We're doing great. How can we help?
I've got these giant crickets. I don't know what they are, but they're like 2 and 3 inches big, and they're black. And they eat up all of my leafy plants outside.
Right now or in the summer?
Yeah.
Well, in the summer they're real bad, but they're starting to emerge now.
Lubber, L-U-B-B-E-R.
Okay.
Lubber grasshopper. They're lubber grasshoppers is what they are. And they're very, very young and very, very small. And you won't even see them right now, but they're little bitty grasshoppers. They hatch out in the spring in mid-April to mid-May. And then as they eat plants, they get bigger and bigger and bigger and scarier and scarier and big and black. And when they fly up, when you're walking through the garden, they just really bump you on the forehead and make you say ugly words if you're not careful.
Or if you're a kid, you could put a leash on
that's
one.
That's true enough. You put a little thread around your neck and carry it around. Yeah, that's a great idea, Deborah. Have a little pet lubber. That's a great idea. You call it Lubby.
I didn't know its name.
So the answer to your question about how to control them is try to find the places where they're feeding now. I don't much care to put insecticide all over your landscape or your garden. I don't think that's safe. But if you can find out where they are feeding now, just do a little search through the garden and see if you see some little bitty guys. They'll only be a quarter inch long, and they may not even be present yet because it hadn't been quite warm enough to hatch many of them out. But wait till, oh gosh, mid-May, I guess, and go do a little inspection, try to find out where they're coming from. And if you can find out where they're coming from, put the insecticide there.
Do they live down in the ground?
No, no, no. I think the eggs are actually the base of plants. And, again, the eggs hatch in mid-May usually.
Is there anything I can spray or granules?
Not now until I know where they're coming from. Like I said, I don't want to spray the whole landscape. I want just to spray where they're coming from and where they're feeding when they hatch out in May. And so you just have to go out in May and look. Just go and look and find them.
Yeah. Okay. Well, okay. Thank you very much. I appreciate it.
Thanks for calling, Deborah. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
404-872-0750 to get you in to take Deborah's place. It's 747. We'll be back after this.
This is Scott Slade, host of Atlanta's Morning News on News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. We'll be covering breaking news, Kirk Mellish weather, and traffic red alerts through the weekend. And the Southeast's largest news team is here for you first thing Monday morning when you head back to work. News 95.5 at AM 750 WSB. Now back to Walter Reeves, the lawn and garden advice you need.
If you knew Peggy Sue, then you know why I feel blue without Peggy, my Peggy Sue. Oh, well, I love you, Gallies. I love you, Peggy.
All morning long, I have blamed Jason Byers for bringing our music to us and doing Peggy an even Sue. Better job. Not Jason Peggy this morning. Sue. Justin Ove is on the engineer board this morning. Justin has done a fabulous job with the music this morning. And a quick weather update brought to you by Ackerman Security. Dry most of today, high of 82, low of 67. Sunday, scattered showers, couple of thunderstorms maybe. High of 75, low of 46. Stay tuned to WSB. If the storms come by, we will get Kirk Mellish on the job. Make sure you're informed of where these storms are. We go to the phones real quickly right here to go to Judy in East Point, Georgia. Judy, good morning.
Good morning.
Hi.
Walter, I have broken a large branch off of a big camellia. Not a camellia. It was a gardenia. I'm sorry.
Okay.
Off my gardenia. It's not mine. A dear friend is getting ready to sell the house, and I wanted something to remember her by. I put it in a vase of water, and it's sprouting roots. I need to know, is it better to pot it in a large pot until it gets some good growth, or should I go ahead and put it in the ground?
Judy, I was just about to tell you that it'll never sprout roots.
It was too big.
And now here you are. Here you are, Judy, telling me already that I'm wrong before I even said anything.
Well, it has roots up and down the stalk.
I'll be darned. How long are the roots?
One of them, two or three of them, are about an inch long right now, and the others coming out just little nubs right now.
How long was it? How big was the branch when you broke it off, Judy?
It's about 2 feet.
Good heavens to Betsy. I would never.
I would have said it was
never. No way in this world. Mickey and I agree that was not going to root, but here you are with perfect. My friend Charlie Tucker in Clayton County, my first extension boss in Clayton County, Charlie Tucker, used to say, Walter, you can't argue with success. So people say this works. Well, I can't argue with it, Judy. If it has roots, it roots. All right. So what's the question now that you want to have answered?
Okay. Should I put it in a large pot until it gets good growth, or should I go ahead and put it in the ground?
You know, I'd put it in the pot first, but before that even, I want some more root growth on it. I'd like the roots to be at least 2, if not 3 or 4 inches long.
Okay.
I don't know how long it'll be before that happens, but you can call me and let me know and tell me how wrong I was.
Well, it may not live, but I'm hoping.
It may not.
Judy, I want to give positive. And I wanted something of hers, and I thought I would try it. I had no idea it would work, yeah. But I thought I would try it.
The world works in mysterious ways, Judy.
What time of the year would you normally put it in the ground?
Normally, you do a cutting about 3 inches long, 4 inches long maybe, and put that in some sort of real fast-growing media like sand or perlite or something like that. And it would root after 4 or 5 months in that real fast-draining media. And so a big, long branch like yours, I would have said, would just dry out, would not have time to make any roots on it. So the time usually you take cuttings would be in May or June, somewhere in there.
Mm-hmm. Well, I've had it for about a month or so.
Wow. Wow. Root cuttings. Well,
I just stuck it down in a large vase and put water in it up above where the little knobs are on the...
Yeah. Normally, they don't root. Mickey, of course, has done Confederate rose. Mm-hmm. So those with 2-foot-long cuttings.
And it doesn't matter how big they are. They'd be big, fat ones.
And
same with the
roots.
Angel's trumpets.
Yeah, but not on a gardenia. Yeah. I wouldn't have thought.
Gardenias, I've done small, like 8-inch cuttings, like that.
Medium.
And I've done them in water, and they've done fine.
But. Wow. I'm still impressed. Judy, I hope you will call us back and let us know exactly what goes on there, because we were real curious of how you had such good success. Don't forget, by the way, my friends, tomorrow is Sunday. The Sunday Atlanta Journal-Constitution will be coming out. And the Sunday Journal-Constitution has coupons worth $322, it looks like, this week, plus all the news you care to read, the investigative reports, the writing of Bill Torpy and Bill Galloway and Gracie Bond Staples is great. If you subscribe to the weekly edition, Thursday, you get to read little nuggets of information about gardening. Every Thursday in the living section, I have a column of questions and answers about gardening. You get that as well. The Atlanta Journal-Constitution, it is credible, it is compelling, and it is complete. It is 7:57. We'll be back to more Lawn and Garden after news.